عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Recording. What comes into your mind when I say
you're not? It makes you think like, oh, I would not be here without Allah. So Allah is my creator, and without, like, if Allah wills for me to be gone, then I'll be gone.
This is not for this is true, but for other names. Al-Wakil is, yes. We depend on Allah.
We depend on Allah, but Allah is also the all-giving. So if we're going to depend on Him, He's going to have to like depend on us.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. When we do a task, when we're about to do task, you say, "Tawakkalna ala Allah." That's very common in the Islamic culture. When we're about to do task, you say, "Tawakkalna ala Allah." Means we depend on Allah. Okay. And you should, before you do a task, you should tawakkalna ala Allah. Or you say bismillah, tawakkalna ala Allah. Okay, we depend on Allah. Now, what does it mean, depend on Allah? Does it mean that Allah will vacuum our carpet and wash our dishes? No.
Allah will give us the ability to fulfill tasks.
Allah will give us?
The ability to fulfill tasks.
Good. Do you want to add?
He will make sure that we, complete the task to the fullest and make sure it's done without many flaws.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story that happened at the time of the Prophet. An Arabian guy has a camel, and then he walked in. By the way, this will be on the website. Actually, okay. So just take notes. I mean, not exactly, not everything, because I want you to participate more. A man came, Arabian people own camels, right? So a guy owns a camel, and he drags the camel, as he was walking toward the masjid. And then he lifted the camel at the door and entered without tying the camel. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him. So he said, "Why didn't you tie the camel?" He said, "I am depending on Allah to protect the camel." So the Prophet said something. I'm going to come to it later. But the Prophet said, this is wrong. Okay? And then corrected him. I'm not going to say the correction now. We will do it together later. Okay, another story. A guy comes sick. Then we tell him, "You're sick, right? Yeah. Why don't you go to the doctor and get medications?" He says, "No, I depend on Allah. He gave me the disease, and only He can take it away. No doctors, no medicine." Same thing for the children. If he has children, no doctor, no medicine. Just like tawakkalna ala Allah. What's wrong here?
Even though Allah is going to help you, He can't just cure you. You're going to have to go see someone to help you get cured, because Allah is going to help that person who's curing you.
Cure you.
Yeah, okay.
You have to do your part. Yunus alayhi salam,
You got the key word that I'm having. You have to do your part. Go ahead.
He was stuck in that whale's stomach, and he, instead of just sitting there and saying, "Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just take care of me," he prayed and he did his part, and he continued to,
Praying until Allah saved him. Let me tell you something. You know what the Prophet did say to the Arabian guy? He said, "Tie the camel and then depend on Allah." Do you see what he said? Mm-hmm. Tie the camel. Then you could say, okay, if I'm going to tie the camel, then what is left for Allah to do?
To make sure the camel doesn't get out of the tie.
Make sure someone doesn't kill the camel.
Uh-huh. So we're getting there.
Steal it.
So, okay. Okay. There is something called, here is the key word, tawfiq. Tawfiq. Who knows the meaning of the word tawfiq? You have a friend name is Tawfiq, or like a family member? That is a name is used in Arabic a lot, Tawfiq. The meaning of Tawfiq means Allah will make your effort successful. So you depend on Allah for Tawfiq. Depend on Allah to grant you Tawfiq. You have to do your job, and then depend on Allah to grant you what?
Success.
Which is Tawfiq. I'm going to use the word a lot. Tawfiq means make your effort successful. Okay? So you tie the camel, just like you guys said here. You tie the camel, okay? But your camel, you depend on Allah to make the effort, which is tying the camel successful. Otherwise, the camel, like somebody can steal the camel, or the camel can cut the leash, or whatever. Okay? So I tie the camel, and then I depend on Allah to grant me success. How about the doctor? I go to the doctor, I take the medication, and then depend on Allah to make that medication and the doctor work successful. That's right. Because you can depend on, you can go to the doctor, take the medication, and don't get cured. Medication doesn't work. So you depend on Allah for success, not for doing the thing. So you do your part and depend on Allah. The atheist people and people who don't believe in Allah, they do say what? They say, we depend on the doctor. We trust the doctor and the medication. So the doctor and medication, the good doctor, the good medication will grant me the success. So my tawfiq or my success is coming from the doctor and from the medication. That is the extreme to the left. This is the person who very disconnected from Allah. Extreme to the right, no doctor, no medication. The Muslim, which is the one who understands the name al-Wakil, he does his part, go to the doctor, take the medication, and then, Ya Allah, grant me success, or grant the medication and the doctor, the treatment, grant me success in the treatment. You got it? If somebody tells you, then if I go to the doctor and see the medication and get the medication, then what's left for Allah to do? The answer is tawfiq. Allah will grant you tawfiq. If you don't tie the camel and you say I depend on Allah, that's false. In order to depend on Allah, you must start by doing your part. You must. If you don't do your part, you are not depending on Allah at all. So think of it this way. The depending on Allah is the job of the what? Heart. And doing your part is the job, one ticket. And doing your job, one ticket. And doing your job, you could tie the camel and still, the camel can still run away. When you start a business and you say, I depend on Allah, Bismillah, tawakkalna ala Allah, we depend on Allah. And then you start the business and then work hard to bring good ideas. Then you depend on Allah with your heart. Ya Allah, grant me success. Because you can easily get out of business. You can easily lose your business. That could happen. Okay? So you depend on Allah for granting you tawfiq. Make your effort successful. Okay? Now, there is a story about Titanic. You remember that story?
Oh, yeah. Titanic. That's a romance one, how it happened.
Do you know that the guy who built Titanic said, even God can't sink it?
Oh, yeah.
Even God can't sink it. Okay. So, let me tell you this. You use the brains and muscles to do your part. And you use your heart to depend on Allah. Right? Got that? So the heart doesn't do your job. It just depends on Allah. And the brains and muscles, you do your part. So this guy did use brains and muscles and did a good job. Obviously, he did a marvelous job. Awesome. However, even though he did a good job, he failed. Because he challenged Allah. He said, even God can sink. The guy did a very good job. He excelled. He designed it very well. He connected, you know where they connect the plates? It's made of iron. So when they connect the steel plates together, they use rivets. Think of rivets like staplers, sort of, to connect both together. These rivets, because they are very sensitive, because they are connecting pieces together, these rivets are subjected to a very rigorous quality control. You know what a quality control is? When you're doing something, quality control is you take a sample and make sure that sample has nothing wrong in it. if there is an item that's wrong, then you reject the shipment. Got it? So if I ask you to provide me rivets. You provide me rivets. I can take sample, random sample, and test it. If there is one or two bad, then I reject it. Same thing in the factories, by the way. The people who build things, like build equipment and things like that, they first, before they release it, they do take samples and testing. And the more samples they get, the more confidence, because you can still have a sample that is 100% good, but the actual package still have problems. So there is a degree of, there is something called confidence. The more samples you take, the more confident you are, right? So the guy did his job. He tested all the rivets, the bolts, let's call them bolts, that connect pieces together. Now, even though he did that, here is how Allah got him. Allah made him use bad rivets, okay, without knowing. They did the quality control, the rivets were fine, but still, the sample that they took, okay, did not include any of the bad rivets. So they say, okay, we have 100% confidence. So, okay, so now they put, if they test the rivets, they can't use them, you know that, because they destroy them. It's destructive testing. Okay, so you take a sample. You can't test everything, otherwise the whole shipment. Okay, so Allah made him use a package that has bad quality and it wasn't caught, and use that in a sensitive area of the ship on the bottom. Use this in a very sensitive area in the bottom. And then not only that, but because of arrogance, the ship was going faster than
it should.
The safe speed. It was going faster than the design speed. Because of their arrogance, they did not provide much of life jackets and
lifeboats.
Yes, and lifeboats. Called them lifeboats?
Yeah, because there wasn't many on the ship.
There was none, very little.
Because they were so confident.
That's exactly. Even God can't send it. So, this was their grave. This is, when they did that, basically they shot themselves. Why? Because now Allah, this is how it happened. Allah made them go very fast and then hit an iceberg. And hit the iceberg in the area where the what?
Bad rivets.
Bad rivets is. See, it's like Allah's shooting in this area, right there. Shot them in this area. And then they sunk. And because they didn't have enough life jackets and enough life boats, that a lot of people died. The people who didn't die because of the drowning, they died because of the hypothermia, because it was very cold. If you're on a cold water, the maximum you can probably like 20 minutes.
Yeah. I was also going to say that Allah also, I'm not 100% sure, but what they say is the crew members and like the captains go last. And since the crew members and the captains were like part of the arrogance of the ship, they went last, and they also, like...
Yeah, they all sunk. Mm-hmm. And you know the story. You can watch the movie Titanic. However, you skip the part at the beginning because it has romantic love story.
Yeah.
Just skip it because it's a lousy story. And then start watching from the time the iceberg hit the ship. And you see how the ship sunk. Okay. The amount of jewelry that sank is billions of dollars because it had a lot of rich people, unbelievable number of rich people, and they brought your jewelry with them. And all that sank. The elites, they drowned, and the jewelry all sank, all gone down there. Okay? Now, if I would do Titanic, I would do exactly what this engineer did, but I would say, Ya Allah, grant me success. So there is something called probability of failure. Probability of failure. maybe the probability of failure of this ship was like
0.1%. But it still happened.
But it's still 0.1%. Allah can shoot you in the 0.1%.
Okay. Without putting like all the, like challenging Allah itself, you basically shot yourself and you're waiting to die.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But not on all cases Allah, if you challenge Allah, not on all cases Allah will make you fail. Okay? Allah might, for other wisdom, for other reasons, make you succeed. People who wants to be rich, you do your job and then ask Allah for success. When you ask Allah for success, then you buy the stocks low and you sell high. You buy a house, the price goes up. Allah, there are so many opportunities that can make you rich. If Allah wants you rich, then He will guide you into the right opportunities at the right time, and then you will become rich. If Allah wants you to be poor, you're going to miss, you're going to buy the stocks high and sell low. You're going to buy a house and the price of the house goes down. So it's all up to Allah. It's all up to Allah. There is, if Allah is blessing your money, or if Allah is not blessing your money, or if Allah wants to test you. Sometimes people depend on Allah and Allah will let them down because He has a wisdom. There are reasons for Him not to grant them success. Okay? Maybe success is going to ruin them.
I'm not sure if this does count as a good example, but I think it could work. One time when I was in elementary school, 8th grade, I believe, I had a U.S. history chapter test on Tuesday, but I didn't know it would be on Monday. I thought it would be on Tuesday, right? So then I studied for the test a little bit, not really, because it's the weekend, right? I'm going to parties, then we have Tuesday, I'll study for it on Monday. Then I went to school, and then I had to go on Monday. I was like, oh shoot, I'm going to fail. But then I prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, I had no idea this would happen. I would have studied really hard for it. And guess what my grade was? 59 out of 60. I only missed one question. One little point on the whole test because of it.
But then don't depend on that. Allah saved
of
you.
Of course not. Allah saved you. Me, but
yeah.
This
time. I got
an A in that class. Because your dua was sincere, right? Like, it wasn't like you were just, oh, I'm just going to depend on Allah. You actually were. She worked.
You
had plans to study.
Yeah. She didn't do as much work, but she did enough to get it out. Because if a believer and non-believer both take chemistry exam, and the believer didn't do his work, his part, and the non-believer did his part, the non-believer is going to get A+, and the believer is going to get F. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has nothing to do with believing or not believing. Yet.
I watched this like animated video. It was like posted by my aunt or something, and it was like this guy was just like driving, and then there was like a closed road. He was like, "Oh, this isn't fair!" And then he was like really mad. And then it turned out like the rock just like smashed that road, and it was a really long road, so he could have been like squished. But then Allah made him go through some hardships to go around. But then he was like really, really happy, and he was like doing dua and like. Because he knew that, that could have been me.
Good deeds will save people from disasters. Allah will save you from a disaster. Like, for example, the charity. The Prophet ﷺ said, treat your sick people by paying a charity. People who do not believers, they say, what does the charity has to do anything with getting rid of my sickness? What's the link? The link is that when you do that, Allah will bless you and grant you tawfiq. Grant the doctor and the medication tawfiq. So it works. The Prophet said charity does not decrease the wealth. So people who don't believe in Allah, they just say, okay, $1,000 charity, $1,000 money minus 200 charity equals 800. Then how could you say that charity does not decrease the wealth?
Huh? In the next life, you're going to be even more wealthier.
Okay. But I'm talking about this life. So you're right, but I'm talking about this life.
In this life, once you give, you're going to get. Like, giving... giving it has, like, it's...
Let's go here and you next.
Okay. So maybe Allah will replace that money in a better way. So maybe you give 200, but then Allah will be like, oh, this person was so righteous, they had such little money, he'll give you a raise, and then you'll get even more money
instead, so a level reward.
You're very correct.
Wealth doesn't always come in money, right? Like you could have wealth and like happiness.
Happiness.
Happiness could replace your wealth. You might not have luxury right. items, but you have happiness, and that could take over.
You can keep the 200 and not pay them any charity. And then you go out in the morning. You hit every red light. You start your car first, it doesn't want to start. So you call AAA. AAA tow the car to the mechanics. And then the mechanics is having a hard time diagnosing what's the problem. So you get the rental car. And then when you go in the rental car, you're hitting every red stop sign. And then you arrive to the bank and there's a waiting line of 40 minutes. And while you're going back, you got a traffic ticket. Police pulled you over and give you a traffic ticket. Okay, look how much money you spent in the traffic ticket. Look how much money you spent on all these bad luck, sort of. There's no bad luck and good luck. It's all in the hands of Allah. There is Allah grant me tawfiq and Allah doesn't grant me tawfiq. As you can say, bad tawfiq, good tawfiq. Or like, tawfiq, untawfiq. Tawfiq, no tawfiq. You see? Instead of saying bad luck and good luck. Because bad luck and good luck is not accurate. It's not good from an Islamic point of view. Okay. So there is something called blessing. Blessing. If you pay the $200, what happens to the $800? It becomes blessed. No traffic tickets, no stop, no problems. And also, just like you said, Allah might not give you a replacing money, but replacing happiness. Allah might give you a child. Allah might push away harm from you. There was this story that always touched my heart. That at the time of the children of Israel, there was a guy. And this guy was so bad that he would do evil things. And say, Ya Allah, I do a lot of evil things and you never punished me. Ya Allah. I do a lot of evil things and you never punished me. You know how the children of Israel always had a prophet with them? If a prophet dies, another prophet will come. So they always had a prophet with them. So Allah revealed to that prophet, go tell my slave, how many times I've punished you, but you don't feel it. Allah's punishing him, but he's not feeling it because he doesn't know what he lost. He doesn't know what he lost. He has no idea what he lost. Absolutely no idea. What did he lose for doing that? And instead of having a nice husband, you get a terrible husband. And instead of having good health, you keep getting sick.
Was this a woman or a man?
I'm talking about for the girls.
Oh, okay,
when Allah blesses your money, when Allah blesses your money, okay?
When
Allah, that's okay. So yes, you're paying money, but actually Allah says, I will never let my slave be more generous than me. I will never let my slave more generous than me. You pay to Allah 200, trust me, Allah will pay it back to you multiple times. It doesn't have to be in form of money. I have a story, personal story. I went to Hajj and I asked Allah for three things. One of them was a nice house in Saratoga. Not in Saratoga, in a prestigious place. Okay? My financial ability and my wife, we can't afford such a house. Okay? So I prayed during Hajj. I came back here and there was a house. And the house was in a big lot of land and it was divided by the owner. So instead of the house and the land being 1.8 million, it became 1 million. It became actually, 1 million. So the half that has the house becomes 1 million, so we can afford it. And the house has been on the market for a few days. Nobody paid attention to it. The house was vacant since 1984 until I bought it. So it was vacant. I finished high school in 1984. It means that it has been vacant, waiting for me to come and buy the house after so many years. So many years, 35 or 36 years. Okay? So, and then when I bought it, I even negotiated the price down. Now, if somebody, homes in my area, in the Golden Triangle in Saratoga, homes go above asking price, for sure. You ask for a million, you get a million and a half. People overbid each other, okay? I negotiated the price down. I mean, down. That's beyond anybody's dream. And the guy?
You laugh now, but when you're an adult, that is pretty impressive, especially
did he, did I copy those? Did I take a picture of those?
I thought I saw you take a picture. So I'm going to assume, hopefully.
No, that's fine. Okay?
We have the recording, don't worry, it's fine.
So, and because the guy made a lot of money by dividing it into two lots, by dividing one lot into two, he made a lot of money because he sold the other lot for a million. So he made 2 million. He made so much money that he didn't really care that much about the money. So, because he made half a million already. So he was fine with him that I negotiated the price down. And I got the house. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And I believe this miracle is because I went for Hajj and I asked Allah. Allah will refuse to make you more generous than him. Allah will absolutely say, my slave will never be more generous than me. You give with a clear intention, with a sincere intention. You give a dollar, Allah pays you back multiple times in so many forms. But the problem is that we don't know. Like the story of the person in the cave. We will go through this story when they killed the boy. And then the parents will never know the reason. He killed the boy because the boy is going to be an awful son. He's going to torture his parents. He's going to make them really miserable. So Allah wanted to replace them instead of the bad boy, good boy. So Allah sent the righteous slave to kill the bad boy. Until the day of judgment, those parents will never know that this is something good. Until the day of judgment, until they meet Allah, they will find out that that was in their mercy. That was in their best interest.
How do we know? Is it in the Quran?
Yes, in the Quran.
Yes.
And the Surah Al-Kahf, the chapter of the cave. Yeah. And he killed the boy, he ruined the ship, and he fixed the wall. The three things. We will come in details. Because there's a lot of lessons there.
Wait, I'm kind of confused on the story. So a good slave killed a bad boy and then he was a doctor or what?
Okay, this slave is a righteous slave sent by Allah with a special kind of knowledge. I'm going to come to this because there is going to be class about that. It's a very important, there's a lot of lessons we need to learn from this.
So what he's saying is that the boy, if he continued to grow up, he would have done many bad and horrible things to people. So and to spare the parents from having that happen, he killed the boy while he was still innocent so he wouldn't do those bad things, right? And then the parents were sad, but then they had another son who would be a good boy, not do the bad things
and
that the other son
then
would
then the boy, when the boy died, when he was innocent, made him go to Jannah.
Yeah, okay. But if he would have lived, then he would have done bad things, made the parents sad,
and
he would have
gone
to Jannah.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, the righteous slave did that because he had future knowledge of that happening. But we'll go to that later. That's just a clarification of it.
There is something called desperate, being desperate. Desperate means you've done everything you can do, huh?
And then you don't really have anything left. But
yes, that's it. That's all what I have. This is all what I have. When you're desperate, you are very likely, when you're desperate and depend on Allah, you're very likely to be granted tawfiq. Next time, inshallah, we'll start and tell you the story of a specific story, very important in our Islamic history, and how did the Prophet ﷺ understood and implemented the concept of immigration. Of depending on Allah. How did the Prophet depend on Allah? Okay. We can start the introduction now, and then we'll finish it next time. The Prophet ﷺ did immigration from Mecca to Medina. Did he say, "Tawakkalna ala Allah," and then he just hit the road? No. Did he say, we depend on Allah and hit the road?
No.
He prepared. He made a plan. He made a very, very smart plan. First item in the plan was, okay, Mecca, Medina is north of Mecca or south of Mecca?
North.
North.
South.
No, north.
North. Social studies. Last year.
Yeah, see, okay. So when you're coming from, when you're coming south, you hit Medina first, visit Medina, then you can go continue to Mecca. 500 kilometers between them. Like something like 360 miles or something like that. So
from here to Los Angeles, right?
Roughly.
So you would walk that way?
Hmm?
You would like walk or go on camel?
Oh, they travel in caravans, so they would,
oh, yeah.
The caravan would pass by Medina and then go down to Mecca, and then goes up back to Medina if you want to stop by Medina again. Guess how did the Prophet start his trip, immigration? Yes, how did he start? Where did direction which did he travel, start traveling? You think he's the not smart?
No, think about it.
Think about
if
it.
If there were enemies going after you and you wanted to go to Medina, what direction would they think you'd be heading from there to there?
North.
And what direction would you want to avoid taking
south.
To avoid the bad guys?
So you'd be south in order
south.
To like...
Yes, because when they figure out that he left, everybody will run
north.
But he will be south, and this will give him enough time to hide in a cave called... called the Cave Thawr. كيف حراء اللي هو اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق كيف ذا
isn't this the cave where the spider like made
yeah.
the web?
Well okay the story of the spider and the story of the egg are not true
they are
what?
Yes they are not true
my childhood
Dr. Qaradawi investigated them and he concluded that it's not true. What happened?
It's not actually his textbook from third grade.
It was.
It's a very famous false story.
No, because it kind of makes sense now that you say it's not true, because a bird can't lay an egg and a spider can't make a web.
Yes.
And like that.
It's very simpler, much more simpler than that. You know when you are in a bright place and you go to a dark place, would you be able to see?
No.
So that's what Allah made it happen. They were in dark, very bright place in the desert, and then the cave was very dark, and they looked, they didn't see anything. Allah even made it more. Allah blinded their eyes even more than usual. So they didn't see anything. They were looking at them, okay, but they can't see it. So they didn't need a spider or an egg. It's just more simple than that.
But they still went to that cave, right?
Even
yes.
Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think it's pretty easy to miss big things. Like one time, we went to the Cabana Club poolside, right? And I was playing in the sand with my brother. We were throwing sand at each other, right? There was a giant sign to the right of us that said, don't throw sand. And I didn't see that sign. And it was a foot away from me. And I don't need glasses to see. I just wear them for migraines. I have 20/20 vision, so. How can you not see the sign? What sign? That sign! Oh. So yeah, it's pretty easy to miss those things, especially if it's dark, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really have to do much. That's why it's more believable than a spider making a web that fast
or a pigeon laying an egg.
So do you know like how do you know how that false story came to life?
Oh, somebody made it up and then it got spread. People love to hear, to believe into these kind of stories.
Because it does seem believable. There are so many miracles in his.
Yeah, but there is no need for it. There is, it's just much simpler than that. Much simpler. Allah blinded their eyes. They could not see a thing. Now, why did the Prophet go? Part of the plan is to go to Cave Thawr. Cave Thawr. Why did he make it part of the plan? Why didn't he just like go straight south and then take the route?
The smarter of the people who were looking for him knew that he would go south, so he would also have to hide in the cave in order for like to backtrack them.
Okay, here.
Maybe he was thinking that maybe he could hide and the cave to go past him and then he could go like maybe from behind or something, or he could, if they were that way, he could see that they're going that way and he could take another route around.
Yes, but the reason he stayed in the Cave of Thawr, there's a specific reason, which is that. And the first day, how many people will look for him? Let's say 100 people. Second day, 70. Third day, 30. Fourth day, 10. Third day, nobody. I mean, fifth day, nobody. So that's how he calculated it. So then they can leave safely. One more item in the plan was to arrange with the guide man. You know the guide man? A person who guides you through the way. Why is that? Because he doesn't know this indirect route. And he was worried that he would be lost. So he arranged it with this man to take him in this long indirect route. Now, he arranged it with the man to meet him at the mountain where the cave is. By the way, I went to Mecca, and it was easy to get to the Ghar Hira in Jabal al-Nur. But Ghar Thawr, it is 8 kilometers on the uphill. I couldn't make it. So I just made the easy one. So that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, spent a lot of effort there. Now, go ahead.
Is the cave like really big?
No, not so big.
No, okay.
But it's when you enter it, you don't, it goes deep. So when you are at the door, the next step you fall down because it's so deep. It's so deep.
So that people go inside of it.
So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr, they were standing right there under their feet. The bad guys were looking down there and they didn't see them.
That's me when my mom asked me to bring her glasses downstairs. She's like, oh, they're on my dresser. And I'm just like, where are they? And she comes upstairs and they're standing right, they're like sitting right there. And I see them. And then she looks at me I'm going to die now.
But the reason is that the same reason. What else? The Arabs, the pagan Arabs or the Arab lords, okay, could not kill the Prophet at all. Do you have any idea why?
Then Islam would not convey that well.
No, Allah made as a reason. Remember? A reason for everything. Huh?
It would become less powerful? Or it would show that they were
I will give you a hint. Tribalism. Tribalism.
Muhammad was part of a tribe, right? And the Arab lords were from different tribes. If you kill a member from another tribe, then you're basically declaring war, right?
Declare a war. The entire tribe would fight to the last man. To the last man. So what happens if they kill Muhammad, there would be a civil war in Mecca. An awful civil war that would divide Mecca into so many parts.
Because they already hated each other.
Because there would be a war, civil war. You kill Muhammad, so the clan of Prophet Muhammad, which is Bani Hashim, and the other allies would be fighting against the clan of the person who killed him and the other allies. And this war is going to ruin Mecca. So they didn't want, they were not stupid to do that. Okay? However, at the time of immigration, they reached to a trick, actually inspired by the shaitan, to kill Prophet Muhammad and avoid the civil war.
By going at night, assassinating him.
Uh-uh.
By taking one person from each, so they can't declare on any one tribe.
They took a person from each tribe, okay? A strong person. They gathered 40 people from 40 different tribes. They all will kill him. So the family of the Prophet Muhammad can't fight 40. It's a suicide. So they will accept money, compensation, and let it go, okay? So now, that was at the time of the Hijrah. This is why the Prophet, Allah told him to migrate. It's one of the reasons, because they came up with this plan. Another thing, next time. But let me add one more thing before you go. Another thing was that he made arrangements with Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Yes.
So don't we get tickets at the beginning of each
time? Yeah, you didn't get 5 tickets?
No.
Oh, Zainab. Okay, we'll stop here and give you the tickets. Yeah, okay.